We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins. Afternoons on the Score.
We're talking to Scott Podsednik for Storytime here on the Score. One of your ex-teammates, the stories are the stuff of legend, Pods. Juan Uribe.
Juan Uribe.
You have a favorite memory or story of him just, breaking the ice and the room breaks down in laughter?
Let's see. There was this song he used to sing throughout the entire season, American Woman, and I can't repeat the lyrics here on the show, but there was some foul language in it, but he would always sing American Woman in his broken English.
I want to hear this song tonight.
It wasn't American Woman, it was Dominican Woman, so it was Dominican Woman, and then he would go on with some foul language.
I'm working on what he might have said. It's pretty fun.
But that was the start of it. It was just one of the greatest, and it came to just, when you heard it, it just kind of puts you in a good mood. You know, there's that familiar Uribe getting at it, and it was always good and fun to hear.
We're looking, trying to track down Uribe first.
Dominican woman. Dominican woman. Mama, let me.
Little known fact, by the way, about American Woman, it was not written about an American woman. It was written about the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, isn't that something?
By a Canadian musician named Burton Cummings with a guess who hated the American politics, and that's what that song is all about.
There you go.
Anyway, we continue with
that's really interesting.
Yeah. American Woman.
Great song.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Thanks for dropping in on us on this Thursday afternoon. Glad you're here. Score Sports Radio 670. I'm Dan McNeil. Danny Parkins has the day off. He'll be off again tomorrow as well, and we return as a crew on Tuesday. Mark Grote is on in relief today, and Grotes, I have to tell you, I have been just incredibly surprised by how engaged some of our guests have been during this pandemic. We've done now almost 44 shows, and not that Scott Podsednik is a household name coast to coast, but he was so engaging yesterday and so much fun to talk to. I had not had a conversation with him since probably 06 or thereabouts. And he was really, really good yesterday. And today we got started in the first hour with a really good interview with Craig Elo, the former Cleveland Cavalier. It's been fun making the best of times during crummy times.
Yeah, I love that Craig Elo, who we had on today at 2:30, if you want to go back on your radio.com app. But the fact that Elo, obviously he knew who he was talking to. A Chicago radio station probably wouldn't call him unless we wanted to talk about the shot. But it was like he was into it. He was enthusiastic about it. It wasn't like, okay, I got to relive this again. Like, he was very engaging and very into it, as if he would have stayed on longer with us. So it was great. It's funny that you mentioned Scott Podsednik. I heard you guys doing that interview yesterday, and I never realized it because Scott Podsednik speaks very delicately. He's got a subtle Southern accent. He doesn't really project, so you don't feel the drama in his voice when he's saying stuff. But he was saying stuff yesterday, like really interesting things, a little bit revealing at times. And I guess I never really realized what a smart, thoughtful guy Scott Bezdnik is. So yeah, to your point, it's been, you know, again, another one of the peripheral good things about what's going on right now, and it's mostly sucks, is that we're getting to talk to people who are available and engaged and engaging.
The baseball news today is as follows. John Heyman on Twitter, John with no H, he gets it. There's no reason to put an H in John, H-E-Y-M-A-N, has the players' union memo they have received regarding they're supposed to start negotiating next week. And one thing, he notes a few things as fact. They are committed, they being the union, committed to getting an agreement, but no deal or Major League Baseball proposal has arrived as of yet. Number two, there has not been a date set to resume spring training. And number three, the union will provide time to arrange accommodations once there is a spring training set. So there is your update. He'd reported earlier today there is no way from his sources that he sees the players taking a 50-50 split on profit sharing, that he thinks that is going to be thrown out and never accepted. And I'm eager to see how it all shakes out. I know this much. For any player who doesn't report to spring training for health concerns, you'll never hear criticism come out of my mouth for that guy. And I try, Grody, not to tell people how they should feel. I really do, but it's been tough of late. It was particularly tough yesterday during the first hour of the show because I just see a lot of absence of perspective. And it troubles me that we seem to be so reliant on sports to keep us upright when we still have so far to go during this crisis.
Well, I think one thing to keep in mind is that so much of what they're talking about right now is all the minutia and everything that gets done to have in place to execute if the doctors are to say, yes, you can go play whatever the sport is. So right now, we're hearing about all the plans, the things that baseball players can and can't do, spitting and showering and all those things that we talked about with Coom a little bit earlier. But I don't think there's anybody that is saying, you know, oh yeah, this is definitely going to happen. I mean, the opinions have varied. I mean, we had Kumon today, who believes that there will be baseball. I think it was on the Mully and Hanley show the other day when they had on. I'm forgetting his name.
Peter Gammons.
Gammons. They had Peter Gammons on, who basically said that, you know, baseball could really screw themselves if they play this year, and that it could go down the drain in terms of PR and all this kind of stuff. So the opinions are all over the board right now on whether or not they're actually going to play, but they are putting into attack these plans that would go in if they are to play the game. So I think that that's what we're hearing more than actually a green light. And I get if that turns some people off, and that's why I think that for once, the negotiating that's going on between baseball and its players should be done behind closed doors, and leaks should not happen. Tell us when you have a deal in place, and then cool. In the meantime, we don't want to hear about the money that you're fighting over.
Cubs utility man, he wouldn't like that. Cubs outfielder Ian Happ was a willing participant. He has been during this spring on the Dan Bernstein show. I want to share that with you right now. Ian Happ earlier today with Bernsey on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yeah, that's in our basic agreement is to work in good faith, and it's something that I think we as players really we want that to be the case. We want to do this together, and we want to do it for the fans. We want to do it for the country, and we want to bring baseball back. That's our goal. So I hope and I pray that we can continue to work towards an agreement, and that we can do it in an ethical and fair way. Because you're right, what's happening right now in our game. It's not pretty. I don't think it's what the players, the owners, or the fans want right now. I think there's enough going on in the world that if we can work together and try to bring back something to the best of our ability, and really just to highlight what this game is supposed to be about. It's supposed to be about sportsmanship. It's supposed to be about entertaining people across the country and across the world. So I think we owe it to everyone.
Yeah, there's a lot of water being carried on behalf of the owners now by some very prominent baseball writers who I wish had a little bit more little greater understanding for how difficult it is to ask the players going into a collective bargaining negotiation to essentially give some things away that they don't have to give away. I'm talking, you know, you and your union is really under pressure here, and you haven't taken the bait to push back publicly. So I think one side of this has been a little bit more professional and adult than the other, but that's my opinion.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, I think that it's our job to make sure that we do our best to negotiate behind closed doors to work and come to an agreement and then present that to the fans, to everyone. And as soon as we receive some of these proposals that have been said that they're coming, we'll do our diligence to make sure that we put our work in and get the best product out on the field.
So as we look at the rules as they've been laid out, at least the health and safety plan that is whatever it was, 70 pages, and I couldn't believe how specific it was about where you can stand and what's encouraged and what's discouraged and when you could be in a cage or not be in a cage. Is this tenable? Is this something where baseball can, coming back like this, can this be enough like baseball by these stringent health rules they've laid out?
Yeah, I think that to start, it's going to have to be that way. I think it covers all of our bases to make sure that guys feel comfortable that we're taking every possible precaution. As restrictions are lifted and as things become a little bit better, I think some of these rules can be relaxed. I do think there's some things in there that we'll have to take a look at just for player preparation, because it's important that we're not taking away from the product on the field, and health and safety extends beyond the virus and what we're talking about in that sense, and to players' health and safety on the field, because you don't want to take away from what guys use for preparation and then get them hurt on the field. So we're trying to balance both of those things. We're trying to make sure that the proposal not only addresses the coronavirus and COVID concerns, but also health and safety on the field of the players. So I think that it being as strict as it is a good starting point. And then we can always move from there and determine which of those things we can relax on as I think the entire global perspective loosens up a little bit.
That's a pretty well-informed, articulate Ian Happ with Bernstein earlier today. I wish all of the players, all of baseball, good luck in all of its very aggressive pursuits of returning to a normal life where guys won't high-five and guys will stay in their hotel rooms and not entertain ladies of easy virtue and run the risk of infecting the clubhouse when they get to it the next day. This game is just, Grody, lots of luck. I can't wait to see it all unfold, but I fear there are going to be so many negatives as a result of this, including the stoppage of play shortly after it begins. I can promise you that's going to happen. I'd be willing to give you big odds that's what happens with baseball this year.
Two things stood out to me, Mac, that Hap just said there to Dan Bernstein earlier today on The Score. When he's talked about all the rules that exist, the high-fiving and the spitting and all that kind of stuff, he said, yeah, I think at first this is going to be fine and we're going to do what we need to do, but then it's going to become more relaxed. He actually said it will be more relaxed. And honestly, that's like a microcosm on all of us. Like when May 29th hits in Chicago and we're allowed to go get a haircut again, we're all going to test the waters very carefully and probably follow the rules to a T. But then once we successfully do something, like successfully get a haircut and, oh, I don't have COVID-19 either, now I'm going to go out and be a little bit more ballsy with the next thing that I do, or I'm going to be not as afraid to do something. That's what's going to happen. I mean, all those rules that are put in place, they are going to relax. And think about it, man. We had Ron Coomer on. I asked him that question, like, how are these, like Ian Happ, 25 years old, how are these young kids between 25 and 30, young adults, going to adhere to these rules? And Coom basically laughed. Like, tell Jason Hayward he can't stop by 7-Eleven before a game and grab a big bag of seeds. You can't do, tell a mature adult something like that, that they can't do that. That's gonna hit some guys the wrong way. So I think everything that we're talking about is at first, and then we'll see what happens.
I want to bring in our executive producer out in Arlington Heights, Nick Shepkowski.
Yes.
You have not been heard from much today. What thoughts have you, sir, on today's events, if you want to call them such?
Well, my thought is just in regards to the Dallas Cowboys thing, and apply it local, live and local all the time. Bring it back to local, right? That's what we do here at Sports Radio 670 The Score in Chicago.
Sure.
All right.
Sure.
Look at what the Cowboys have done in terms of their offensive line, and tell me that that's not what's responsible for Dak Prescott being anywhere near in the ballpark of this money that he thinks that he's going to get, and heck, that the Cowboys, according to Chris Sims, have gone ahead and offered. Like, what is it that Dak Prescott does particularly well? Moves well, incredible athlete. He's not a great passer. Like, he does not have touch whatsoever on his ball. Like, you look at that, and he wins a lot, and their offense puts up decent numbers, not ever amazing, but decent. That's because they invest in a run game. That's because they invest in an offensive line that's as good as just about any in football. I mean, I'll go over the past 6 years or so. It's the best there is in the NFL, and it's just amazing to me. Oh, wow, Dak Prescott, is he worth this money? Heck no, he's not. It's a product of what's around him, and maybe if Ryan Pace could turn on a TV. The Cowboys tend to play on national television quite a bit, on those island games, like Max likes to call them, quite a bit. See what they do, and maybe that'll help out your quarterback.
The Cowboys went down the field on the Bears that first drive this past season on Thursday night like they weren't even on the field against the defense. And I thought, oh, my goodness, this is going to be an ass-kicking we didn't see coming. And they didn't do jack the rest of the night, and Prescott was not very poised and was not very accurate. I see a lot of the same things you see. The Cowboys are denying the Sims report. Prescott's camp was saying that's not accurate. But whatever it is, if they're looking to lock him into a long-term deal and be willing to guarantee him all that money, I think shame on them, because you'd think teams would be, unless a guy has been to the big one and has won it or has been very, very close and just shows signs that he is a great football player, I don't know how you could begin to flirt with $125+ million of guaranteed money. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I'll tell you, for better or for worse, though, minimal competency as a quarterback in the NFL these days is one who is not bad, good enough to be the starter for all 16 games, and a guy with whom you can win. Not because of, but win with. And they've got, Shep just laid it out. They've got the right formula to win. They've got an offensive line, and they've got the quarterback that knows how to win with a good offensive line. So it's got to be somebody. So why not him? I mean, the money's huge, but there's so many teams that have questions at quarterback and have guys that ain't going to make it through 16 games. At least Prescott gives you that. And I realize that's a low bar.
You guys like the idea of the Boston Bruins skating the Stanley Cup around United Center Ice sometime in September if the NHL uses Chicago as one of its two cities, for a 24-team tournament? Would you get that do anything for either of you guys? Shep, you're the hockeyer guy of the two of you. What do you think?
I mean, it's just having sports back would be cool. I know we can go into the conversation. It seems like we have a couple times a week of, all right, are we really that – do we have to have sports back? What's it tell about our society? But just in that, on its own, okay, it'd be kind of cool. Might try to get a press pass there if the Stanley Cup Finals going on at the United Center and fans aren't allowed in, and it's the only way to kind of get in right there. It'd be a unique experience. Does it, like, excite me of, like, oh, my God, this is the greatest thing ever? The Bruins or the whoever it might be, the Lightning are skating around the UC and they're the new champs? No, but it'd be different. It'd be sports back. It'd be in the city. I wouldn't be against it.
Shep, your takes are far too reasonable today. I don't know how to accept this. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I much more enjoyed your takes on the Eagles yesterday.
I got a call from the program director. I offended him because it's his favorite Eagles song.
Oh,
I just love, like, some of your takes that you qualify people as great. Like, oh, it's such a big deal. He's got 70 home runs in a season. Mm. Oh, everybody loves this guy.
Yeah.
Oh, the Eagles are so good because they're number one in every single country.
Give me every steroid under the sun, and I'll have a head the size of Barry Bonds, and I'll hit 73 home runs.
There we go.
Congratulations.
Love them or hate them, the Eagles are without debate the number one rock band in American history. Number one American rock band
What's that tell you about America?
Well, yeah, I don't know. The Doors didn't live long enough. I guess it could tell you that. Or Aerosmith shouldn't have lived long enough. I don't
Pearl
know.
Jam? Pearl Jam? Pearl Jam is probably the number one American rock band, no? I mean, am I too close to the situation?
I think so, Grody. Please remove yourself just a little bit. Take a step or two back.
I'd argue they're a
Leave
Mount
Eddie Vedder alone in the Cubs booth.
He knows me.
I'd put him on the Mount Rushmore, Grody, but I would. And maybe that's more more from the lack of depth in the field than it, but their success cannot be disputed. It's been enormous.
Mac, I've All always right. been a little bit I turned off by your it seems like you I feel like you should like Pearl Jam and Nirvana and Soundgarden and grunge music more than you do.
I do. I'm a huge fan of the Nirvana album Nevermind. It's a veritable greatest hits. I love that album.
Okay.
And I have three or four Pearl Jam albums. I don't listen to them a lot. When going to Canada, I will. I'll pop verses on. I'll be there. I'll do your even flow, mister. Teddy Greenstein is going to join us in just a couple of minutes. Golf regulations are relaxing. What do you need to know about making your next tee time? Teddy will get you up to speed on that in just a couple of minutes.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's on the score.
Get Teddy! Get Teddy!
Oh, mercy. One of these days I gotta get back in the metal shop and re-rack that. Get Teddy indeed. Golf is relaxing the rules. Well, it's actually not golf doing it. It's the state. And if you're a weekend warrior, this is information you are going to want. Teddy Greenstein is, he doesn't wait for the weekends. He's always out trying to make a run at mortality because he's realistic about the whole thing. He covers golf, among many other things, for the Chicago Tribune. And he's with us right now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford is in Melrose Park. Hello, Teddy G.
Danny Mac, one of these days you're going to say yes to my golf invitations. Your shoulder's going to be fine. You're going to blow off work, and you're going to join me for 18.
I've blown off enough work for the next the duration of the next deal, okay? I'm good on that. The good thing about not having to report until 1 o'clock, though, when we have a meeting usually every day, is I got mornings, man, and I don't sleep real well. So when you want to get down here to Hooterville, although you're probably done with my state now that you're playing, you're very close to playing back in Illinois right now, right? What happened today at 3 o'clock? Tell our listeners.
What did happen today at 3 o'clock? What am I missing?
Tell me. You tell me. Was something laxed today?
At 3?
Well, the news was yesterday, and then the effect is going to be next Friday. Is that what you're talking about?
I guess. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I guess that's what I'm talking about.
This is great. This is a quiz. You keep me on my toes. All right. So we're talking about Mac. We're talking about May 29th, and also this assumes we enter phase three of the governor's reopening plan. Assuming we do, here are the new. Here's the dealio. Instead of twosomes, threesomes and foursomes are okay. Golf carts are going to be allowed, and if you're coming, you know, if you're playing with somebody from your household, you can do the dual rider. Otherwise, it's single rider. So, you know, less fear of a lack of social distancing. Outdoor dining, four caddies, and for people who have never used a four caddy. Big fan. Obviously, they're not available at a lot of courses, but these are the people who will rake the bunkers, who will read the putts, and will help find all your horrible drives in the thick rough. And then instead of 15 minutes between tee times, it's going to be 10 minutes. which is great news for the golf course operators because now they can sell 24 tee times in an hour instead of 8, and they can be much more viable. So big changes. I'm trying to find out about driving ranges. It's hard to get answers. It sounds like the ranges and the putting greens will be open, but have not been able to confirm that yet, my friend.
You know, when I was actually a caddy at Medina Country Club for about two weeks of my life. One thing I remember, Teddy, about before caddy back in the day, they made more than the regular caddy. Like for some reason, and maybe that's still the same way at Medina, they were valued more, the caddy telling you where the ball is, than the guy lugging the clubs around all day.
Yeah, the four caddy has a really good life. You know, the four caddy goes around with the players who are riding, so they don't even have to carry any clubs. They just hustle out there to maybe the 200-yard marker. They look like a hero as they're finding all these, you know, all these stray balls for people.
Here it is.
Break some traps, but that's definitely the cushy life. That's probably what I'll be doing if the Tribune keeps cutting us off.
I see a number of golf courses. Thank you for sharing me what the term means. I've never heard of a four caddy before. I don't like playing golf with caddies. I'm not much of a country club weenie. I just like being with two or three buds. That's how I enjoy it. But a number of golf courses are also letting their customers know today, beginning next Friday, you can share a cart provided you live in the same household. How in the world are they going to enforce that and govern that?
So what some courses have done is they say if you drove to the course together, you can share a cart. Now, you know, these are not going to be like checkpoints inspections, so I think they're going to base it more on the honor system. And sure, I think you can probably push that. You know, maybe if it's two guys, you can say, hey, don't judge us. We live together, and we're going to share a golf cart. So I think a lot of this stuff is really based on just common sense. I mean, it's the same thing with social distancing. Like, they're asking people to stay 6 feet apart. They're saying, don't touch the flag sticks. They're not going to come out and arrest you if you do. Maybe they'll come out and say, stop being an idiot. Don't touch anything. You don't have to. So a lot of this really does go back to the players just saying, all right, let's stop the spread of this and let's do this safely.
What is this, year three where you can putt with the flag stick in, year four, something like that, when everybody started going, just leaving it in? It took some getting used to, but I'm okay with it. It doesn't bother me.
Oh, it's been like the greatest enhancement to playing golf that, you know, of the last several years, because absolutely all that time that was spent on, you know, do you want me to tend it? Do you want it out? Do you want it this? Do you want it that? I mean, what a waste. Like, it's not the British Open. Just leave the flag in and move on to the next one. What's weird, Mac, is that when you see professional golfers do it, like Adam Scott usually leaves the flag stick in. And when I see that, it usually looks like he doesn't really care that much. But some of those guys see that as an advantage, maybe on like downhill putts, that the flag stick is actually going to stop a putt from going 5-6 feet past.
Teddy Greenstein from the Trib with us. Yeah, go ahead, Groats.
Yeah, Ted, I want your gut feeling on this. I know like golf is such a sport of following the rules and etiquette, so maybe there's a built-in advantage here. Is this going to work? Like, once this starts, will it move forward and progress, or do you think that this could go wrong?
No, great. I think it's going to be just fine. So like Mac was alluding to, I've been playing in Indiana. I've been playing it Palmyra and Whitehawk, and I've seen it. I mean, people are capable of playing golf without getting in, you know, in anybody's way. When you're on the putting green, you know, maybe putt out, just finish it up so somebody doesn't have to get close. And I think people right now are in the mindset when they're outside, they are just enjoying the hell out of themselves. And even if they're making bogeys and worse, at least they're outdoors, you know, breathing some fresh air, hopefully getting some sun. And yeah, they don't want to do anything to screw this up. I mean, I was at a course in Illinois, and I did see there were a couple groups that had become threesomes. And I think the ranger will just drive around and say, hey, cut it out, just go back to twos. But generally speaking, people don't want to ruin a good thing, so they will follow this.
We've been wondering what changes will come out of life when we get back to some form of normalcy. And this is inconsequential in the great scheme of things. I recognize that. But for those of us who love to play golf, do you wonder if there are some potential etiquette changes as a result, because what you just said got me thinking about Ready Golf and how much I love to play golf with guys who don't make you run from bunker to bunker if you happen to do that, because you're still away. Whoever, it shouldn't be a fitness activity.
Exactly.
Golf should be played at a rapid pace and hopefully, yeah. What do you think?
Well, Mac, the beauty of the old rules were, you know, there was a 15-minute spread between tee times, and that was great for pace of play. I played out at Lincoln Oaks down in Crete, and we got around in 3 hours and 25 minutes. So that was most welcome. You know, it's interesting now. There are no ball washers. There are no rakes, which is kind of nice. You know, you just if you end up in a bunker, just lift it, put it in a decent spot, give yourself an okay lie, and then when you're done, just smooth it out with your foot. I mean, I kind of like that in a lot of ways. Again, this is not tournament golf. We're just out there to have fun and try to make a birdie or par. Obviously, no handshakes, no fist bumps, and you definitely don't need to ever touch the flag stick. I don't know if you've played. I know you haven't played yet because of the shoulder and whatnot. But all the flags are basically, you know, there's a foam container in there that raises up the ball, so you don't have to reach all the way down. You don't have to touch anything. Now, the sucky part is you don't get that satisfying sound of when a ball hits the bottom of the cup. But that is a very, very small sacrifice to make to you know, to keep your hands clean from touching anything.
It is a joyful experience when you get that thing. How many rounds have you played, Teddy? A dozen?
No, I think I've played 5. I think I've played Palmyra 3 times, Whitehawk once, and Lincoln Oaks 1 time. I have not been a wild man out there, but I've been like a once a weeker.
Palmyra, which is about 15 minutes south of me, man, if I won the Powerball, I would sink $5 million into that place and make it one of the coolest country clubs. That thing with all of those rolling hills and 100-year-old trees, it's beautiful, but you got to put a ton of money into that place, man.
I don't know, man. Well, it does have great bones, but it's been in good enough shape. I mean, I've really enjoyed it. You know, in part because I'm breaking 90 there regularly. So any course where that happens, I automatically put into my top 10 in the world. But it is a really cool place. Got some good par threes, good mix of holes. Like there's a stretch of the back nine where all of a sudden you think you're playing at like TPC Sawgrass. There's tons of water. Very enjoyable course, and absolutely, man, get healthy and we'll get out there.
So it's you, McNeil. I got the third is Mike North. Who's the –
How did you throw North into the mix? I've never played around in my life with North. I played with him with a sponsor once.
You guys were going back and forth on Twitter like a few weeks ago. Everything feels like a few weeks ago now about golf. And North went demanding that golf be back, and you guys were going back and forth. And I know Teddy's been begging to golf with you for some time now. So, you know, that's what I got for you, Teddy. Good luck.
Well, I like to play with anybody who's willing to bet on the golf course. I'm a big fan of prop bets. I started a new game last week with my buddy Keon. I called it the 1-4 game. So one guy hits the first drive, and then the second guy says, all right, I'm going to bet between $1 and $4 at his discretion that he's going to outdrive me. So, and then you alternate on who drives first. So if the first guy, you know, pops it up 120, you say, all right, $4 that I'm going to outdrive you. But then if you screw it up, you can lose the money. So really, I'm looking for opportunities to wager, and I'm sure Mike North would be good on that front.
All right, we got Joel booked as the fourth. You're done. Set.
All right. Sounds good. Hey, real, you mentioned the par threes at Palmyra. That first one, I think it's number 4 or 5. I'm not sure. 4 or 5. I actually talked my first hole in one out of the cup there because I mishit it. I didn't hit it well at all. I kind of sculled it. And you know how the green is crowned? It's crowned in the back, and the ball starts rolling back, and I'm going, don't go in. I'm yelling, don't go. I don't want that first career ace to be a crappy shot. I want to enjoy it like it's on TV. And fortunately, it lipped, and it didn't fall. So.
You just didn't want to buy beers for everybody at the club, Danny Mac. Admit it. You were too cheap. You didn't want the ace. You didn't want to have to start shelling out coins.
Yeah, Pabst Blue Ribbon for everybody. Hey, I'll give it a try next week if time allows. I think I'm ready to unleash. So give me a shout, Teddy. Thanks for the knowledge today, buddy.
Enjoyed it, guys. Take good care, all right?
You too. See, that's Teddy Greenstein from the Chicago Tribune, Mr. Golf. I thought for sure he'd have been out more than five times, but it all starts getting relaxed next Friday. It seems like put it in golf terminology for you, Grody. Doesn't seem like a very tough putt to be responsible with social distancing playing that game, does it?
Well, especially since people who golf do pay attention to etiquette more in that sport than in any sport. Golf is based in a lot of ways on etiquette. Serious question, though, and maybe Teddy answered and I didn't hear or didn't listen. Are the halfway houses open? Can you get food? Can you get drink?
I don't know the answer to that question. I'll text him, and we'll see if we can get an answer on the backside of the break, if you don't mind. All right?
That's fine, Dan. Yeah.
I'll answer.
Sure. Yeah, that's cool,
Stop it. Grody's in for Parkins, Mr. 21st Century Football. I'm Mac. We're here until 6. Don't forget, 6 o'clock, Bears All Access. Your first chance to get a listen to the pig. Pig Simmons, the Bears' seventh-round draft choice out of Tennessee State at 6:15 tonight. Lechavius has arrived. It's the score.
Remember when it's the lowest form of conversation.
McNeil and Parkins Show brings you This Day in Blackhawks Playoff History.
Campbell downstairs for Bolin. Counted for Coughlin, and he scores! Dustin Coughlin wins it in overtime! Dustin Coughlin is the hero of Game 3, and here it is. And who was on the feed? The defensive guy, the Rat. The Rat and Big Buff, go figure. Had nothing the Sharks could do. Buffin with the celebration, Bolin with the depth feed, and it makes the water bottle up off the net.
That was This Day in Blackhawks Playoff History on the McNeil and Parkins Show on 670 The Score.
10 years ago tonight, in the year of our cup, 2010, Big Buff Dustin Coughlin, who played defense and forward for the Hawks during the golden era, at least the beginning of the golden era of Blackhawks hockey, getting the Blackhawks one step closer to the Stanley Cup final. 10 years ago tonight, that shot that beat Evgeny Nabokov gave the Hawks a 3-2 overtime victory to put them up 3-0 on the San Jose Sharks. They would close it out on a Sunday afternoon at the United Center. I remember going to that game with Spiegs and his wife. We had Sherry and I and Spiegs and his wife at the time. We had a great time, and he said, man, you were right. The handshake line is pretty cool.
Yeah, man, those were the days right there. Go on to beat Philadelphia on the phantom looking goal, at least by Patrick Kane. Back to the game, though, against San Jose.
Ain't that buff enough?
Oh,
ain't
yeah.
that buff enough?
Oh. That dude, looking at the video today before the show, he was wide open right in front of the net, just kind of slowly sneaking up there, and he takes the pass from Dave Bolin, also assisted by Brian Campbell on that particular play, and they win the game. What I really don't remember, though, ever from Dustin Coughlin, you said his nickname, Big Buff, but the play-by-play guy there was calling him the Rat. I don't remember him being known as the Rat as a secondary nickname. Do you?
I don't have any recollection of that. Maybe they grew up together in Minnesota or something. Dustin, but I have no one ever called him the Rat around the United Center. At least publicly, they didn't.
I think they were talking about Dave Bolin with the assist, the Rat.
Oh, that's what it was. That's what
Bolin
it was.
Yeah, Dave Bolin was the Rat. He had one of the helpers.
Whole family Dustin, was rats.
Family full of rats. He'd have wound up like them too. Dustin Coughlin is the only professional hockey player I've ever seen with boobs. I am not exaggerating. He had – now, I didn't see him at maximum capacity, but that 2010 season, oh, my goodness. I mean, it wasn't, White Goodman boobs at the end of Dodgeball. It wasn't that, Ben Stiller's redeeming role, but they were boobs. I'd never seen a hockey player with boobs before until I saw Dustin Coughlin shirtless in 2010 or 2009. That's crazy.
Well, once again, the joke is on us because he is still playing. I think he's still playing.
That'll do it.
You can, in fact, eat at a golf course, Mark Grody. Outdoor dining only, according to our insider, Teddy Greenstein. Thanks for working with me today, bud. I'll see you tomorrow. Same time, same station.
Thanks, Mac. It was fun.
All right, kiddo. Thank you. Good job. Mark Grody, we're sitting in for Danny Parkins today. Our executive producer is Nick Shepkowski. Back at the shop, we thank the surgeon of sound, the master of the metal shop, the one and only Chris Tannehill, assisted by Herb Lawrence. Thanks to Shane Reardon for his help today as well. And our program director, Mitch Rosen. Guests today included Craig Elo. Good stuff with Elo on the Last Dance documentary and his role in the Bulls' glory years. We also checked in with Ron Coomer for a little bit from Cubs Radio, our teammate, and Teddy Greenstein from the Tribune. Grody and I will be back to do it again tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have yourself a great evening for everybody on the staff. I'm Danny Mac, and I am Taillights. Good night, all.
That was awesome and emotional and conflicting and nostalgic.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.